Okay, let us learn some Mishnah Berurah, some Halacha. Yeah. Okay, I want to learn more about Tefillah B'Tzibur tonight. Some fascinating aspects. Yesterday we learned about the Shtadl Adam Yisbal Beis HaKnesim HaTzibur. I want to carry on now with the next line in this Seif, which is Siman Tzadi Seif Tes. And this is what it says. Vim onus. What happens if a person is an oinus? I always struggle. How do you translate oinus? I never know what is a perfect translation. Yeah, if it's an oinus, how do you say that? If it's not within his control, so he's a. There must be a good word for it.
Blameless.
Yeah, blameless. He's a blameless. Exactly. Yeah, that's. He's an onus, in other words, yeah, as you said, onus is the best translation, he's onus, yeah. He's she'enu yochal of his beknes, he's unable to go to shul. He's been made unable to go to shul.
By his wife.
By his wife? Yeah, okay, we'll see soon why. Mishnah Berurah addresses the wise. Then what should he do? Yechaven leispalel, he should intend to daven. Beshah, at the time shatzibu mispalelim, at least he should daven when the tzibu is davening. Vuadin, similarly, top of page 244, top of page 244. Bnei Adam, people, hadorim biyishuvim, who live in settlements and villages, ve'eino a minyan, and they live without a minyan, such as in. Yeah, very common in Israel. Oh, in London, where is there a place without a minyan?
In Brixton,
that's right. In Brixton again, yes. So there's only 8 yidden in Brixton. There's only 7 yidden in... and there's only 7 yidden. So what should he do? Mikol mokim, nevertheless, yispalelu shachiz v'arviz. He should daven shachiz and arviz. Bizman at the time, shatzibu mispalelim. So what we're learning over here is a very important point. There is a concept, sometimes there's an onus. A person is unable to go to shul. Okay, we'll soon qualify that and explain exactly what an onus is. We'll see what is an onus. We'll get to that in a minute. But assuming somebody is an onus, let's go to the classic undisputed case of somebody's unwell. Okay? He's unable to go to shul because he's unwell. So we're learning now, what is he meant to do? So we don't say, forget it, he's unwell, so it's bother. No. What we do say is, okay, you don't have to go to shul because you're an oinus. Okay? So what you're meant to do now is look what time the shul is meant to daven and daven the same time. We're now learning there's something called the second best option. Second best option is, don't go to shul if you can't go to shul. If you're an oinus, don't go to shul. But, at the very least, go for the second best option. Plan B, as we call it, is daven the same time that the shul davened. What happens if you don't know what time the shul davened? Check and edge your davening times, and then you'll know. But you gotta know what time is davening and time it for that. So it's very crucial because we're learning now. This is the second best option. If a person is unable to go to shul, what do you do? Daven the same time. Daven home. Daven the time the shul davens. What's option 3? What's level 3? What's the third best? There's a third best. Yeah. The third bit is Shulchan Aruch. Yes, that's it. That's it. Third bit, v'chenim ne'enas v'lo yisbal b'shah shas yisbal lu atzibu. If you can't daven the time that people are davening, you can't go for plan B, then v'um yisbal b'yoch, you're davening on your own. Avol pikein, if possible, nevertheless, yisbal v'esakness, go to shul. So, you're unwell. Unwell. Couldn't daven with a minion. You missed Shachis, for whatever, shul davens 9 o'clock, you didn't make it. Now you want to daven, so go at 9, 10 o'clock, go to shul and daven there on your own. Third best option. Second best, which is far better, is daven. So ideally daven with the minion. Of course, ideally. If you're an onus, you can't daven with the minion, then daven the time that the minion davens. And third option is, if you don't have option A and option B, then at least go to the shul, physically go to the shul and daven there on Yoritz is the third best, because there's a very great chashivus, a great inyan in davening in a Beis HaKnesses, in a place where the tzibur normally davens. It's got a certain kedusha, shchinish, there's a certain kedusha in a Beis HaKnesses, so daven there even be yochid. Fourth best and last option is daven without a minyan, in a different time, at home. That's the last option, the worst of all options. Yeah.
So instinctively,
I would have said exactly the same than you. But we're learning now, there is something about davening the same time than the minyan. There's something about it. And it's as if it were, because we know that the physical distance is not so important, doesn't really exist in Ruchnias. So therefore, if I daven the same time, then my tzibur normally davens as if it joins up. It goes up because the same time it joins up. The tefillahs join the tefillahs of the mispanim of the minyan. So it's second best. But you're right. I would have perhaps guessed otherwise. Now this is all again assuming that a person is an onus. We discussed yesterday that there is an obligation to daven with a minyan. You got to daven with a minyan if you can. Of course you do. It's not just a chumrah, stringency, a yishtadel in a plain sense. Rather, there is an obligation to daven with a minyan. You got to daven shachis, mincha, and marib with a minyan. Yes, if there's an oinus, you don't. So what's the justified oinus? Mishnah Sif Kotn Choftes gives us the following background information. Sif Kotn Choftes, haynu shetash koichoy, av she'enu choyle. Mishnah says, yeah. So it's true, if somebody is unwell, he's exempt. But there is also a slightly additional leniency. What does tash koichoy? What does tash koichoy literally mean?
Weaker.
Is weaker. Is weaker, despite the fact that he's not a choyle. So we've got a certain leniency over here. Yes, somebody is choyle. If he's got temperature, he's exempt from davening. But not only that, somebody's tash koichoy, he's in a weakened state, he's also exempt from davening. Is somebody who is in a weakened state exempt from Abba Minim?
At home or in shul?
At home?
Probably at home, no.
But not exempt.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about mitzvahs that are minim, which doesn't make a difference if you do it at home or in shul. Give another example, perhaps an easier. If a person is tash koicho, is in a weakened state, is he exempt from eating matzahs, yes or no? What about moel? Is he exempt from a weakened state? He's not. If you have a real choyle, then yeah. But if that level of weakened, a bit schwach, you know, you got a bad day and you're weak and everything. So there we've got a chukul over here, which is specifically and only applicable with tefillah b'tzibur. If a person is weak, he's schwach, he's exempt from davening b'tzibur. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. I want to point out that it's known from many, many Gdolim and many Choshvidim, they're not relying on this kula at all. But we've got to be aware that there is a certain kula that most people are Moisei Nefesh down with the Minyan throughout all the generations in Kedal Yisrael Yidin were Moisei Nefesh down with the Minyan. But yes, there is a certain kula that if it's Tash Koicho, he's actually exempt. Doesn't have to be a Choyle. What about financial loss? So, say for instance, that if I daven with a minyan, I will lose money. What's an example for losing money by davening with a minyan?
He'll lose money.
Yeah, he lose money if he don't. So is there a heter from that? Can you daven be yichidus? Of course, davening, yeah. But you're going to daven without a minyan to avoid the financial loss. Is that considered an oinus? So we learned oinus, choyle, unwell, you can daven at home. Weakened, you can daven at home. What about financial loss?
No.
What, no?
Because your panos is on Rosh Hashanah, so you put off them, it's not going to make any difference.
It won't make any difference.
If you daven Rosh Hashanah, it's when you can decide what you're going to have.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ve'imu oynes momen is a financial loss. Shemach mas that because ishtadlu soy leispalei matzibu. Yovoi li dehepz that since he's davening, check out the word ishtadl. That is since he's davening with a minion. Yovoi li dehepz is going to lose financial. Is going to lose money. Yochel is spelled with Beisoy, B'yochel is allowed to daven at home, B'yochet. Or B'beis HaKnesses, or the third option, is davening in Shul, B'loitzi, without a minion. But now comes the question. What about, yeah?
Is that geared to a one-off situation, or is that what if it's a long-term thing?
It's a very interesting question. I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know. But I have an addition, which Mishmu is adding now, which may be relevant to what you're saying. What about if, let's say, a person has got a job of doing deliveries? His job is every delivery he does deliveries. He's got a text coming in that he's got a delivery which will be 7 a.m. If he doesn't take it, then it's lost. So now the question is, if he doesn't take this job now, it's not gonna happen, he's not gonna get that job. Now, is that the shaila that we're discussing now? Is that, would you say that you're allowed to miss the minion because of that? That's it. That's precisely it. Mishnah says there's a very big distinction. We've spoken about this in Hilchas Chol HaMoed as well. We spoke about this. There's a very so distinct difference, which Jonathan is referring to, between losing money on the one hand and not gaining money on the other hand. Which one is more severe? Losing money. Mishnah says you don't have to lose money. You don't have to lose money to done with a minion. No, that's not in his moment. But if you would gain money and you're losing that financial opportunity, there's no heter for that. So therefore, if there's a job opportunity that comes up at 7 o'clock, if I take it, I'm going to make £70. If I don't take it, then I'm just not going to gain. But I'm not going to lose anything. That says the Mishavua, that's not. They can't do that. You can't lose a minion because of money that you would have made. Yeah, that's ongenomen. Yeah, yeah. Now but losing a job. Where was losing a job? How would you qualify losing a job?
Well, you have to be there at whatever, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and you can't get there in time.
Yeah. So losing a job, is that not gaining, or is that financial loss? Which category does that go? Losing a job. But it's got to be at the job 7:30. Yeah, it probably is. It was. It's not considered not a gain. It's probably considered a loss. So let's see what Mishavua says. Pardon? No, I don't think so. Why, to lose a minion for that? What kind of... A big business deal that time. I don't know what to say. A big business deal. It's in the winter, Mincha time. You talk about Mincha in the winter, for instance, could be very challenging at times.
Even more than that, so some fundraisers I've heard they've missed a Mincha because of a meeting's going.
Yeah, so there is another heter, perhaps, of Oisig B'mitzvah Potter B'na Mitzvah. That if they feel that what they're doing now is a mitzvah, and there is no other opportunity of doing this particular mitzvah, perhaps there's a heter. So fundraisers sometimes rely on that. Perhaps. It's not so posh at all. I think that most fundraisers won't be lenient. Pardon? Yeah, it's true. Doctors sometimes will. If they're employed by the NHS, or they've got their time scale that doesn't allow for davening with a minion, so I suppose they will go into the minyas, that's not minyas revach, that's probably considered a hefset, that they would lose their job. They would lose their whole career. And if they lose all career, then it's obviously in a worse category. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ve'imu oin avol mishum minyas revach lo yimon emelispal limatzibu dechiluk yesh b'minyas revach." There's a distinction, there's a difference between minyas revach, not gaining, levein hefset mekisvei, from losing financially. V'chein kozav v'shev yankev, that's what the Shev Yankev writes. V'heit alagon morin Reb Zalman Mir. Rabbi Yisai, I heard from a few years ago when I was in Kollel downstairs. I heard from Yudaleib Wittler, sonst gesunden stark, Yudaleib Wittler. He said that there's only one story in the Mishnah Berurah. In all Mishnah Berurah, in the volumes and volumes of Mishnah Berurah, the six volumes of Mishnah Berurah, there's only one story, because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't write stories. It's not a story sefer, right? It's a halacha sefer. There's only one story. The one and only story, he says, is this one we're going to see now. That's the only story the Chofetz Chaim writes. Let us see what the story is that the Chofetz Chaim tells us. Veheid al Hagon Reb Zalman Mills. So there was a Yid called Reb Zalman Mills, who was the Av Beis Din in the Kilas Kodesh Hamburg, was the Rav of Hamburg. Can you see it? Reb Zalman Mills. The third line in our, it's in the middle of Sefkon Choftes. The one and only story in the Mishnah. By the way, in the meantime, I still want another story, I think, but Ibn Leib said it's pretty the only real story. Have you got it? Have you got Choftes? Reb Zalman Mirls. So he was Reb Zalman, and his mother's name was Mirl. So it was called Reb Zalman Mirls. Av Bezna Kilas Kodesh Hamburg. He was the Rav of Hamburg in Germany. Shepamachas one day. Holach Le Beis HaKnesses. He went to Shul. Meutav. Wrapped up. Betales with his talis and tefillin. Kedako. He was wearing his talis and tefillin, as was the norm to go to Shul. In the ghetto, you go to Shul with talis and tefillin. For Pogaboy Adam Echad, and one Yid approached him. Shalimke Ravonim Toivos. He had jewels. Real jewels. Verotso Sheyelech Imoy Leveso. And he offered him, listen, Mr. Zalman, Rabbi Mills, I want to strike a deal with you. I've got these Avonim Toivos, I've got jewelry, but I haven't got much time. I know it's 7 a.m., it's not a conventional time to do business, but why don't you come with me now, and we're going to make this deal now. We're going to go for it now. You know, you. And Reb Zalman Mills said, please wait, I'll show him Mr. Knesset, let me daven, and we're going to do this deal in an hour. Let me just daven first. It appears that this particular Rav, besides being the Rav of Hamburg, he was also a man of financial means, and it appears that he also was engaging in business. And it looks like, Jules was part of his. So he said, why don't you wait until after Shachris, and we'll do the deal then. And in the meantime, by the time he came back, after davening, what happened? Guess what happened after Shachris? He went back to this guy. What happened?
He went gone.
Business finished. It sold to somebody else. And the other person, because of that deal, it looks like the guy was in a rush, and he sold it for a very good price. Totally under, what's called under? No, under value. For a very good price. Yeah, under value, a very good price. And the other person who had purchased it made a fortune from this deal. You'd expect the story to end differently, right? How would you expect the story to be that it turned out it wasn't real jewels, it was fakes? No, that's not the end of the story. That's not you'd expect that. That's not the end of the story. Then the real end of the story is that he lost out the financial opportunity, huge wealth. He could have, so Zalman Mills could have become a rich man from this. He could have done a fantastic financial deal. What happened? V'samach hagon simcha gedoyla, and he was extremely happy. So happy. If someone else wasn't upset about it, on the contrary, he said, wow, look, I had this opportunity. I was a mevata on this financial opportunity for Tefillah B'Tzibur. He was very excited. He said, that's how important Tefillah B'Tzibur is for me. That's how important it is. And he was very, very happy. By the way, I'm going to add two little footnotes to this story. Some people say, I heard this from Rudy Leibwitler. He said, I didn't find any source for that. But he claimed that Reb Zalman Mills was a grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi. The great Gaon, the Chacham Tzvi, one of the Gdolei Achronim. He said he was zoicha to have such a, people say, that's what he said, that he was zoicha to have such an outstanding grandson because of this particular incident. He was a matter. But others, I don't know if that's, I mean, that's what he said. Others want to claim that you can always prove how important a mitzvah is to you by this. He had evidence how important Tefillah B'Tzibur was for him, because for him it was more important Davening B'Tzibur than a few thousand pounds. So that shows obviously Tefillah B'Tzibur had that value for him. Very interesting. Says the Mishnah Berurah. V'chein kosav Eliyahu Rabbah v'shem Tshuva Beis Yankov diyesh liknois anoshim shemoinim leilech Beis HaKnesses. The Mishibur now quotes Eli Rabba in the name of the Tshuvas Beis Yankov, that yesh liknois ha'anoshim, you have to punish and fine people shemoyim lech Beis HaKnesses, that avoid going to shul mishum she'oyskim b'Torah, because they are busy learning, or mishum she'mishdachim oron, or they are earning money. V'le'ashirim yesh liknois nois, and the wealthy people have to be fined even more so. Uval Torah av she'oyskim b'lemud, if somebody is learning Torah mikol mokom ikei chashod v'chilul Hashem. So Rabbi Yisrael, Mishnah tells us over here that people have to be fined. They get a bill. You're not coming to Minyan. Here's the fine. How much? £50? £100? Every filler you miss, you get a letter in the post, yellow with black, the things, that you have missed filler with tzibur. Here you have to pay this, you have to pay this fee. Two people, he's thinking about two kinds of people. The group one is that people are learning Torah. They are so busy learning Torah with great hasmada that they are missing minyanim. There is no heter to miss a minyan for tefillah betzibul. People is learning with great hasmada. Yeah, it's going to take him half an hour to go to shul, half an hour back. No excuse. You got to daven with betzibul, even though it's going to cause you a bit of Torah. And the second group of people that he's addressing are the people who are making lots and lots and lots of money. And they're too busy earning money and making money that they go to shul. He said, no, they have to also have to be fined, they have to be punished. You can't miss a million for earning money.
Was it
Tzibur
that you only have to travel to shul once?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. This is correct. You're remembering very correctly. There's a limit how much a person has to travel to get to a million. This is correct. And we'll address that. Yeah, we'll learn that. What's interesting is I want to just mention that historically, and there's no question about this, I heard this one from Moti Eisen also once, that there's no question about this, that historically there was many, many Yidden who lived in places that there was no minyan. There was Yidden in Germany, they lived in tiny villages. There was Yidden in Poland, there was Yidden in Hungary. There was Yidden in Swedish countries as well, they lived in places without minyan, there's no question about this. Wherever your ancestors are from, there were areas where there was no minyanim, and sometimes, for financial reasons, they were not able to move away from there. So there, the halacha is different. As you very correctly pointed out, sometimes you don't have to travel for the minyan, and then the discussion is, you have to, for Shanim Kippur, we learned earlier halachas, you have to hire a chazan, you have to hire a minyan, etc. But they may be exempt if it's too far. But as long as you're in a place where there is a minyan, you must go to the minyan. You claim that, you claim that people miss for minyanim for easier reasons than that? I mean, Mishnah Berurah makes a very clear point that financial reasons is not justified, unless it's a financial loss. Even learning Torah is not justification. I don't know. You think that there's other oinsim out there that people sometimes... And it is, the truth is that doctors, and there are certain jobs that people are unable to leave their job. Also depends a bit where. Depends a bit where. If you allow, yeah, it's true, no? There is sometimes people who are... Pardon? Yeah. So holidays will be classified in an area where there is no minyan. And that's fine. We'll be learning about that. See if there's Zion. If you're in an area where you there's a limit how much a person needs to travel. But if you're beyond, if you're within that zone, you must. If you're out of that zone, you don't have to.
But can you put yourself in a situation where there's no minyan?
Perhaps yes. We'll discuss that in Mitzvah Hashem.
People can fly.
Yeah, perhaps yes.
That's going to miss them.
Perhaps yes.
So the
answer is probably yes, but we'll address that. But now we are addressing clearly places that you are in places that there is a minyan. So here you've got an obligation to join a minyan, and that is a real genuine obligation. So I said, just to summarize and recap what we learned, we spoke about an oynes is exempt from davening with a minyan. The second best option is same time. And the third best is in a shul. By the way, about times, what happens in places that there is, you know, you've got Haggis in Golders Green. What about Ma'ariv in Haggis?
24.
Yeah.
24 Ma'ariv.
24 Ma'ariv, right? And that's just in Golders Green. In Stamford Hill is even more, even more. So how, you can't, if you, what does it mean to daven with the same time than a minyan davens?
Well, probably where you
normally. Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with you, yeah. But otherwise, it's a meaningless kind of statement because there's a whole time, it's constant minyanim. So it probably means, as you are saying, I think that's what the poets can say, that it's probably referring to your own minyan, yeah. That's why, by the way, that's why you continued publishing during lockdown. I suppose that's the... No, is that... That was probably... Yeah, that's... Yeah, so that's... There you go. That's why Jonathan continued publishing the doubling times during when there was no physical minion.
Illegal minions.
In retro timetable, that's right. Yes, yeah, so that's in line with this very halacha. Very much in line with this halacha that if there's no minion, at second best, the onus, you double the time that your minion doubles, and that's why it's very.
The minion is doubling.
Pardon?
The minion is doubling.
Yeah, so it could very well be. Many poskim say that it could be true that only applies if there's a real minion. Yes, this is true. Yeah, it could be true. Yeah, but it's like a, as we call it, the first cousin. You know, it's the same kind of concept. So, and the third option is to daven in a shul if there's no minion. We discussed what is classified as an onus. We learned onus is not just a real choyla. No, even somebody's tashkoichoi is also classified as somebody's weak and schwach and not like under the weather. That's also classified as a person that is exempt from davening with a minion. But we discussed that financial loss is also classified, but that's if it's a financial loss. Person would earn money and is not earning money, that's not considered financial loss. He's got to daven with a minion. Losing a job is considered losing money. And we spoke about Reb Zalman Mills, the one and only story that Mishibur brings down, Reb Zalman Mills, who lost a lot of money because lost a financial opportunity because he davened with a minion, and he was very excited about this. And then Mishibur finally says that you've got to punish people. There should be fines established as a matter of course that people who don't daven with a minion, they should be fined. Yeah, that's what he says. People should be fined. I think it's very interesting. And this is for this evening, and I will continue with Shem tomorrow evening. Okay, that's it.